Now stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today here on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, 94.7 WPVC. I don't know how progressive it is to want to read and pick up a book and get your morning, your evening, your summer started by reading. But we're going to talk about it here with our yearly guests, Lindsay Idison. She is the branch manager at Northside, part of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm just fine and raring to talk about books.
Excellent. And we also have Meredith Dickens. She's the collection manager for the JMRL Group. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We do this every year. It's one of my favorite programs. My wife would say I need to give many of my books back, reduce the number of my books, or she might actually find that you two are part of my problem with the book sale, which we'll also talk about during the hour. Lindsay, for many folks, the Northside branch, a fairly new, let's see, what are we, 3 years now, four
we
years?
We've been in our current location for 3 years.
For 3 years. Northside, Route 29, the
west side
of Rio.
Yes, the fourth building in from 29.
A beautiful building.
They did a fabulous job renovating it.
What are many of the things you can do with that facility?
Well, one of the main things that we wanted in the new building was to have more spaces for people to meet. And so we have four small study rooms that are in use all the time. We have a big meeting room groups can borrow. We also have a quiet room, because one of the criticisms of our old branch was that it was too noisy, and it was. And the quiet room where you can go and study and no phones, no talking, no noise.
When you say a quiet room, is that no phones because people bring their cell phones there, or a quiet room because that library is so conducive to bringing your kids there? Why do you need a quiet room at a library?
Well, the modern library isn't the quiet library of the 19th century. People do bring their phones in. People do talk. We do have a lot of children in the building, so it's nice to have something set aside where people go and they can have an expectation that it will be quiet.
We also have Meredith Dickens with us. She's the collection manager. Are you collecting my late fees? What is the job of the collection manager?
I manage the collections of the library rather than breaking kneecaps. We have eight branches and a bookmobile, and all of those branches get books and movies and music. So I manage the budget that allows us to get those into the library. I help with the selection of what goes into those collections. And then throughout the life cycle of the materials, you know, when we need to repair or replace or update information, I try and keep track of that with a lot of help from the staff at all the branches.
So when I see a book at the book sale, and it has the withdrawn stamp on it.
Yes.
Is that your decision?
Either mine or another staff member. We have a bunch of librarians who at every level make those decisions. Books can become slightly worn, or we update them. If it's last year's edition of a travel guide, it might still be useful, but we want this year's in the library, so we'll withdraw last year's and send it to the book sale. It'll be an extra copy of a very popular mystery that isn't quite so popular anymore. We still have plenty of books, copies in the collection, but the extras will go to the friends to raise money for us. So that's when you see withdrawn.
All right. So our guests today, Lindsay Idison, Meredith Dickens from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We'll be talking about things that go on at the library. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things that have to do with reading, suggestions on how to get people who don't necessarily read a lot or haven't become fans of reading, suggestions on way to get them started. But one of my favorite parts of the hour will be suggestions on favorite books for the last year. Maybe they're books that just came out. Maybe they're things that people stumbled across. So let's get started with that. Who wants to jump out first?
Oh, well, okay. Right, Lindsay's pointing at me, so
Lindsay's pointing at you. So a few, just a few. We've got a whole hour to go. So I'll jump at you and say, can you give me three of any topic that you'd like?
Okay. Well, I am in the middle of a book that I'm really enjoying right now, so I can't tell you how it ends, but this is a book that I will be putting in the hands of a bunch of different people.
And its genre?
It's literary fiction, but I think it's really accessible to everybody. It's The Overstory by Richard Powers. He has been one of my favorite authors for a long time. Some of his books are a little erudite. This one, I think he manages to... He brings stories of a bunch of different people throughout the history of this country, different kinds of people, and how they relate to trees, which sounds weird, but each one of them has a special connection to a tree in their family yard or on a farm or in a park. And he manages to weave in environmental themes and family themes and personal stories with lyrical language but really smartly done. You learn a lot as well. So I just am getting swept away by this book. And I'll have to let you know how it ends because I'm not done with it yet. Sort of holding on to it so it lasts a little longer. I don't know if that ever happens to you when you're reading a book and you start slowing down towards the end because you just don't want it to end yet. That's where I am with this book right now.
No, my problem is I stay up all night and finish it, and then I'm sad when it ends. is this a series where I can quickly pick up, you know, the second or second book and keep going?
Yeah. Well, that's where ebooks come in. You know, I was, we were talking about digital books right before we started recording. And when you are getting books from the library and you maybe picked up the first book in a series and you finish it that night, you can always get the ebook right away, even if the library is closed at midnight.
Yes.
So.
All right. Another?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I just read, you may remember that I used to be a young adult librarian, so I used to read a lot of young adult fiction, and it's absolutely fine for adults to read teen books.
Oh, that's
They're super fun.
The thing that I have found myself, I don't know if stuck is the right word,
yeah,
but that's the genre that I have heavily involved in for the last several years.
Sure. So this just came to mind it wasn't the best book I read all year, but I just finished it, and it was the kind of book where I couldn't put it down until it was done. It's by Allie Carter, and it's called Not If I Save You First. So she has done a series of books about teen girls who are spies, and she just has a great fun way of following these girls who are girly but also very strong and very smart and savvy. And this book is a standalone. It's not part of a series, but a girl who is the daughter of a Secret Service agent. Her father was protecting the president, and something happened. He got wounded. They moved to Alaska. So when she was 11 or something, it's 6 years later, and she's been living in remote Alaska with no one around for the last 5 years. She gets her teen magazines and makeup every month when he goes into town, but she's learned all these survival skills. So she's super girly, super strong and savvy with the wilderness. Anyway, I don't want to go into everything that happens, but the president's son gets shipped out there to stay with them for a while, and they have to save themselves from a dire situation. And it was just super fun. It was a great adventure story and lots of good banter. And And again, it was just a great weekend read.
Excellent, excellent. All right, and one more.
One more. You're putting me on the spot. How about Lindsay?
All right. Lindsay, you look ready now.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I think the title was A Brief History of Everyone Who Ever Lived by Adam Rutherford. He's a British scientist who writes about DNA and genes. And it was so interesting, and for even a non-scientist such as me, and so fascinating about how genes work and how they discover how we descended from the earliest hominids. And basically, we're all part Neanderthal. And also, if you have European background, if you go back to 1400, we're all related. So I'm descended from Charlemagne, I'm pleased to say. Oh. And you are too. So it was a really fascinating book. There was a lot of science in it, but not in a way that made you feel like you couldn't understand it. It was very accessible.
Very cool. I'm going to get Dan to start writing these down so we can post them on the on the podcast. By the way, SeavillePodcast.com. If we're not writing them down, you can go back and listen to them and write them down yourself. Lindsay Idison from Northside Library, where she's the branch manager. Meredith Dickens, the collection manager from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. I'm Rick Moore, host of Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. As we talk about books and summer reading and all kinds of things library related. Lindsay, do you have one more book?
I do. I don't know if we talked about this one last year, but it's A Man Called Uwe by Frederick Backman, which is wonderful and funny, and it's a great novel. I highly recommend it to almost every adult. It's about a man, it's Swedish. It's about a man who's depressed because his wife has died, and he's kind of an old grump, and he decides he's going to kill himself, but this does not happen. And he gets involved in the lives of his neighbors. And then the more he gets involved in their lives, the more he has a reason to stick around. But he does it in a very grumpy way, which is very funny. And so you see all this happening throughout the book. He doesn't really see it. He just thinks his neighbors are interfering with his life. But you see what's happening. It's great.
Meredith, you mentioned the first book you mentioned. What was the title of that one?
That was The Overstory by Richard Powers.
The Overstory. You mentioned how it was environmentally interesting and erudite. Mm-hmm. A couple books that I picked up, they were in the young adult section. Actually, I think they were even a little younger than that, mm-hmm. more middle schoolish, but they were environmentally related by Carl Hyacin. I'm not sure I pronounce it.
Hyacin.
Yeah.
But they were books for young readers, and they were environmental mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they were pretty easy to read. But if you've got a young kid, middle school age, and you want them to be, I don't know, to be involved and be concerned about the environment, I think I read Hoot, mm-hmm. which had to
yep.
do with an
yeah.
owl,
yeah.
and Scat, which had to do with a panther,
right.
and the Everglades. They were pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So.
And he's funny. I think
yes,
that,
yes.
that can
funny.
Bring the reader in, is that he's very funny. He also writes adult mysteries. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, only from picking up those two books and reading what the other books he'd written. But yes, they were also funny. So other things to read. So 14 minutes after the hour as we talk about reading and library system. So you've got a new director at the library this year. So how's it going with him?
It's going great.
Yeah, we couldn't be happier with David Plunkett as our director. He's been working for the library system for many years and has come up through the ranks, and we've all loved working with him for a while. So now, as our leader, he's doing very nicely.
How do you know? We're talking about books and just tossing some names out of things that we've read and enjoyed. How do you suggest to someone who walks in, and when a patron, always know that Lindsay uses that phrase, how do you determine what to suggest to a patron to read?
Well, one of the things you do is talk to the patron and find out what the patron may have read that they liked. And that gives you sort of an idea of where to start. You can also just suggest things. And I always say, feel free to reject any of these ideas. You know, it won't hurt my feelings. But, and we also have a lot of displays at Northside of different books. We have staff picks that people love. So the display tells you the name of the staff member and the book is over it. And I had a patron come up one day and said, "You're Lindsay. I always take your staff pick." Well, thank you. And we have historical fiction, and then we have two rotating displays that change every month. And this month, one of the rotating displays is dysfunctional families. And the display says something like, "Let's put the fun in dysfunctional." And the other one... The other one is called Facebooking, and it's just books where the cover of the book is the face of a person. And some are nonfiction and some are fiction. So there's no connection except there's a face on the cover of the book.
I found that if you go to the website, and it is jmrl.org, correct? Jefferson Madison Regional Library, should be easy to remember, jmrl.org. There's a service
that
you can use. How does that work?
It's called.
You know, I don't have to put in my social security number.
No. You have to give us enough information we can get back to you. But it's called What Do I Read Next? And you give them, this is manned mostly by our reference department out of the Central Library. And you give them either some titles of books that you've enjoyed or the kind of books you like. I like romances, I like mysteries, I like science fiction, I don't like, you know, too much vulgarity, or I do like a lot of violence, that kind of thing. And they will handpick three or more titles for you. And you can say, "Oh, I've read all those," and they'll come back with three more. Or you can say, "No, maybe something else." Or if you like those, you can come back again. So it's handpicked titles just for you.
Do I have to tell them that I have like a 3-shelf, 6-foot-long bookcase full of unread books from the book sale?
No, not at all.
I think we all have that.
We all have that.
Or it's, and I should also say that it's also for people who don't read a lot. If you feel like you want to get back into reading, it hasn't been, we might not ask you, what have you read lately, but what do you watch on TV or what kind of movies do you like? And we'll find a book that will be like that feeling, so you can, you know, ease back into reading if you haven't been able to for a while. Or if you have a busy life and you can't sit down with a book, we'll find something with short chapters that you can pick up and put down right away. Or if you are going away on vacation, you might want a book that you could really delve into. And we'll take all those into account when we're trying to find the right book for the reader.
That sounds like a job that I would like. Can I ask what that pays?
Not enough.
Oh, my. You know, can I just sit there at the computer and wait for those letters to come in? How often is that service used?
That's a good question. I can't answer that. I can get back to you with those numbers, but I'm not sure. But we also do that in the course of every day. When Lindsay sees a reader come through the door, you know, she's on. We never know when we're going to be asked for a reading suggestion or a piece of information or just to use the computers. So we're not sitting around waiting for those suggestions, but they're the fun part, I'd say.
Yes. Reader's advisory is my favorite part of the job. We also have a lot of book lists that one of the staff members at Northside makes up. And it will say, for instance, travel to Paris, and it'll be all fiction and some nonfiction that take place in Paris, or beach reads, or historical fiction. Or one of my favorites was a lot of current novels use real people as the characters. Do you know what I mean? For instance, A Paris Wife is about Ernest Hemingway's first wife. And The Aviator's Wife is about Anne Lindbergh. So it's fiction, but it has a historical person in it. And so she made a list of some of the books that do that, because there are a number of people who now like that and look for them.
We put those lists online. We have a wiki, so it's like Wikipedia, but just made by JMRL librarians of book lists. And that's accessible from our webpage as well. So if you ever want to just browse by genre or by topic or weird topic, like books based on fiction based on real people, you can look at that wiki. Or you can go into the library and look at the displays or the reading lists.
Go into the library.
Yeah. When you were talking about liking young adult books, did you know we had a book group for adults who like to read young adult books?
Didn't that start last year?
It did. And I think the last one is coming up this month, and then we're going to take a break this summer.
Oh, my gosh. Why?
The person who was leading the group wanted to take a break, and we want to restructure how we do it. We didn't have a lot of turnout for it.
Oh, my gosh. Is that because the adults are embarrassed?
I don't know. What the reason. We thought maybe it was the time or the day or, you know, you just never know with programming.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about more book suggestions with our guests Lindsay Idison and Meredith Dickens from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Hang tight. And back in action as we talk about summer reading and the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. I'm Rick Moore, host of the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with my guests, Meredith Dickens. She's the collection manager for the library, and Lindsay Idison, she's the branch manager at Northside. Thank you so much for being here, ladies. So my sister, who reads a lot, and she's a member of a book club, wanted to make sure that Ordinary Grace made the list by William Kent Krueger. Have either of you, Lindsay?
I've read it. Our book club, the Wednesday evening one, was going to read it. And I'm not in the Wednesday evening book club at Northside, but I saw that and I thought, oh, I think I'll read that because I've read some of his mysteries. Ordinary Grace is sort of a mystery, but it's much more a novel, per se, than a mystery, although there's a mystery at the heart of it. It was just a very good novel about a boy and growing up and something that happens in his town.
Now, she's not listening, so you're welcome to say whether, you know, whether you would rank that as a 9 or a 10, or, you know what, we got other books within the hour that you would rank ahead of that.
I don't really do rankings, but I'd give it a star.
Okay.
I don't mean as opposed to 5 stars. I just mean as opposed to 0 or 1 star. I'd give it a star. I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a good book.
Okay. So let's have some other books here that we can mention for the summer reading list.
I like Lisa Jewell, the British writer, and her most recent one was I Found You, and an earlier one that I really liked was The House We Grew Up In, which is a novel about a family, and the mother is a hoarder, and what happens.
Oh, my.
And I Found You was a novel about a woman who lives in a coastal British town on the coast, and she goes out to the beach, and there's a man sitting there, and she speaks to him, and she finds out that he has amnesia. He doesn't know who he is or where he is or why he's there. And that's the beginning of the plot.
Goodness gracious. What was that one?
I Found You.
I think I'm going to have to check that one out.
I thought it was intriguing.
Meredith?
One of the books that I read late last summer or last fall is The Power by Naomi Alderman. And that's been getting, for those who are interested in the Me Too movement or had been watching The Handmaid's Tale or had gone back and read The Handmaid's Tale, it sort of is the next generation of that kind of thinking. The Power is about, it takes place in a future in which women have evolved the ability to shock people, and electrify them, basically. So there's an organ that they've evolved. Basically, the author uses that as just a way to explore what would happen if women were physically more powerful than men, and how would all of our societal structures change? How would a corporate boardroom look or government officials if women were the more powerful sex? It's just a really interesting examination of that, but in a novel.
All right. Again, Meredith Dickens and Lindsay Idison here from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. I keep mentioning the book sale. How important is the book sale to the library system?
Very important. The Friends of the Library raise all the money for our programming, so the story times, the movies, snacks for book groups, copies of books for the book groups for kids, all of the craft supplies for programs, and more.
Yes.
They're very important to us.
Yes, we literally get thousands of dollars from the Friends to do programming and to buy things for the library that we could not otherwise afford. For instance, we bought a DVD player for our meeting room so groups could use it to show movies.
And they help with us with the gift books. So for their summer reading program, some of the age groups get toys and prizes, but all of the age groups get gift books. So if you come and participate in the summer reading program, you walk away with a book to keep. It's not a library book you have to return, but book to keep of your choosing. All of those books, prizes, come from the Friends of the Library funding.
I always tell people that the book sale is one of my top five things to do in Charlottesville. I look ahead. I have to find the dates. I mark it on my calendar. I usually go two or three or four of the days that it's out there. I've learned to not just go to one or two sections of the area that I normally would read, like, you know, fiction and young adult. I've learned to go to biographies, and I think we've had this conversation before, but that's where I learned that memoirs are an interesting genre of books to read. It's where I found some incredible purchases. I think in last fall's book sale, I found a Beatles, you know, table a book, you know, that you would normally find for that must have cost someone originally $30, $40, $50 that was for $2 and some. I mean, it's just fascinating what you can find at the book sale. And I love going to the book sale.
Yeah.
And I love to tell people about going to the book sale and family and friends to go, come on, let's go to the book sale.
Yeah, and you get two times a year. There's a week-long sale in the fall and another one in the spring. And you're right to go several times during the week because they keep putting fresh things out. We're blessed with so many donations that they're able to keep it stocked. And art books and cookbooks and novels and mysteries and comic books and some games and puzzles, too. Lots of kids' books. It's, yeah, anything you want.
And it's how I get rid of books, and that's not the best phrase to use, but books that I have that I've decided I'm not going to keep so that I don't overwhelm my house with books, but someone else might love that I return to the library so that the library can then make some money off of a book.
Yes, people donate all year long. They bring a lot to Northside. And we have to pack them up in boxes, and we send them over to
the
Friends.
That's where I take mine.
Yes, well, we get in probably thousands every week. It's unbelievable.
I think I took some 2 weeks ago.
And we're happy to give people a receipt for tax purposes if they want to consider it a charitable donation. But yes, we do love getting them. And the Friends love having them, and we love having the book sale. And I love working at the book sale. It's a great place to volunteer and see people.
And I can say that if you have a box or so of books, you can take them to any branch to donate to the book sale. If you have more than that, you might want to take them directly to the Gordon Avenue Library. There's a place right off the parking lot where you can unload them and get that receipt.
I love the book sale. It's fascinating. And again, thank you to Lindsay and Meredith for being with us today from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. So what's coming up for the summer? I'm sure you, Lindsay, you mentioned that the young adult program is winding down. So there must be some new things.
Well, that one book club is winding down.
Right, but there must be some new book clubs that are either continuing or starting up.
Yes. Well, we have a book club for children, for tweens, teens, and adults. We have four ongoing book clubs at Northside. And all of this is on our website and the Beyond the Books, which is a publication we put out with all of our programs in it. And that should be out soon.
Soon.
All right. I was looking at Meredith because it hasn't come out yet. We have individual flyers in our branch that detail for you all our summer programs, but I want to give a big plug for the summer reading, which is for adults, it's for teens, it's for kids. It's a challenge sheet that you fill out. You do 5 challenges, mm-hmm. and then you turn it in, and then you get a prize. And for adults, the prize every month is a book for you to take home and enjoy forever. And the books are good.
You also get entries for every 5 challenges, and the challenges are something that might push you to read something you wouldn't normally. Read a book with a green cover, or read a mystery when you wouldn't, read a graphic novel, listen to an audiobook, read with a friend, that kind of fun challenge. For every 5, you get an entry in the grand prize, which for adults is a Kindle, one for each branch at the end of the
really?
Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for kids, there are, I believe, there are gift certificates.
Yeah.
For books.
For Barnes & Noble or Amazon, I think.
Yeah, or a local bookstore if there's one near a branch. So
it's pretty nice. And it's easy to do. The challenges are pretty accessible, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's set up like a bingo, and the center square is to visit the library. So the first, you know, if you've got your challenge sheet, you're good to go. You're off to a good start.
And if I can put in a plug for our summer reading kickoff, we're having a Schools Out block party on Tuesday, June 12th from 5:30 to 7. And it's going to be inside the library this year because last year we tried to have it outside and there was a thunderstorm. But we are having the Kona ice truck and they will be outside. But we're having face painting and glitter tattoos and musicians. And you can sign up and get your challenge sheet for the summer.
And the Central Library is having their summer reading kickoff on Saturday, June 9th from 10 to 12. They close off 2nd Street right next to the library and have a big street fair with juggling. There's going to be a mini book sale. The friends are going to have a table selling books and lots of fun at the Hullabaloo as well. And if you're listening and you're not near one of those two branches, each branch has its own summer reading kickoff. So check Beyond the Books for that schedule.
I'm still stuck on the part that I can win a Kindle. Again, we are talking with Lindsay Idison, the North Side Library Branch Manager, Meredith Dickens, the Collection Manager from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We lost a couple big authors this year. Death is always part of what's going on in the folks who write. But Sue Grafton passed away a few months ago.
I know. It was terrible. Those of us who couldn't wait for Z is for whatever Z was going to be for, now we'll never hear that, see that.
Right. Her family decided not to let someone else take over and write the next book.
I know. I'm sad. We'll never find out. The end of the alphabet was in sight.
Tom Wolfe just passed away quite recently. A question that I had for the two of you. So Sue Grafton, Lindsay, as you mentioned, her family not going to let someone else take over. I recently, a book that I received at Christmas, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, mm-hmm. one of the books in that series. Stieg Larsson passed away, and that family decided to let another author continue with that series.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on the difference in that?
Well, Robert Parker's mysteries are now being written by at least one other person, Ace Atkins, and maybe more than one. And the Robert Ludlum books, of course, have been continued. James Bond was continued by multiple different authors. Clancy has been continued.
There are new Agatha Christie books coming out. Sophie Hannah is writing some Poirot mysteries. So it's not uncommon for a character or a series to be picked up and there are all sorts, as you say, sometimes the family or the estate doesn't allow it. Sometimes they say, no, we have to vet the person who's going to pick up the mantle and make sure that it's the same writing style.
I think that's what happened with the Stieg Larsson books. I guess sometimes it comes more from the organization that's publishing from the publisher, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's from the family. You know, if the family says, oh, you're going to offer us that much money, then go ahead and get whoever you want.
Yeah. Henning Mankell's family, I think he was very adamant about not anybody picking up his characters. He was a mystery writer as well, and his family has honored that. They said, absolutely, there will never be another Wallander mystery. That was just his. Could go either way.
There's something nice and pure about doing that, but at the same time, there's a lot of disappointed readers out there who think, oh, I would love to read another Wallander mystery or Spencer mystery or Kinsey Millhone mystery.
I read, Ian Colfer was contracted to do another Hitchhiker's Guide book. It was within the last 10 years after Douglas Adams' death. And I remember reading it and thinking, this is a great tribute. It's not quite the same, but I'm glad to sort of join Ian Colfer as a fan along for this ride. And we'll sort of just say, okay, we all miss Douglas Adams. It highlights exactly what was wonderful about the originals, allowed him to live on a little bit more in my readership. So it's good and bad, I think.
All right. While we're talking about mysteries here with Lindsay Idison and Meredith Dickens, is there a good mystery that you'd like to share with somebody for the summer?
I read a lot of mysteries. I have two authors, new authors to the mystery trade that I can share. One is Jane Harper, whose first book was The Dry and got a lot of attention, and her current book is Force of Nature, and they take place in Australia. I like them a lot. And the other one is an English writer, Susie Steiner, and she just has two books out. The first one was Missing Presumed. I think she's really good. I enjoyed her very much.
Meredith?
I am not normally a mystery fan,
right?
No. I try and read them, but I'm thinking of the ones I can speak to popular mysteries, but not personal favorites.
I'll throw an author out that I found at the book sale. They're not recent. They're just recent to me. I found Sarah Gran at the book sale. She wrote Claire DeWitt and City of the Dead. And I'm about to pick up Claire DeWitt and Bohemian Highway. The main character, Claire DeWitt, is a really rough female detective who has been to she's an excellent detective. She had a strong female mentor, but she's quite rough in the sense of she's had some mental issues. And she has no problem in with her language, with her physical violence towards others. But her skills are wonderful. But the book itself is a decade old.
Mm-hmm. I know we own them. I haven't read them, though. But now I will.
Well, that reminds me of a book that's older that I read probably about 10 years ago, but it was a good mystery for someone who doesn't always read mysteries. The Spellman Files by Lisa Lutz is hilarious. It's about a woman who belongs to a family of private detectives, and they start infighting, and there's intrigue. And that was a great choice for someone who doesn't necessarily need the procedural of of the police procedural or a crime. But it was hilarious, and it was about detectives.
It is very cute.
And that's
one of the things you have to do
series.
Is interview the patron about what do they want out of a mystery. Because there's really intense ones like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And then there's the cozy ones that, you know, have knitting shops and cats in them. And there's a big swath in between.
Right. The mystery these days, there's some where, I can't think of the woman's last name, Fluke, the bakery
person. Yeah.
And then there's the ones where they go beat each other, or the Stieg Larsson ones that we're talking about where there's...
There's a lot of violence.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And they sort of go from all end where, yes. So again, Lindsay Idison and Meredith Dickens here from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, as we're talking about the regional library itself, and we're also trying to throw out some books of all kinds. So let's take our second break, and we'll be right back. And back in action here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about books. I don't know how many you have in your house. I have a lot, which is why I like doing this show so much, so that I can go get some more books. Lindsay and Meredith, let's get away from my personal problem of fiction and do something that I can expand my bookshelves and do some nonfiction or some audio books. Lindsay, let's start. Do you have suggestions on some nonfiction or other genres?
Yes. Yes, I do. I like nonfiction a lot. I read a lot of memoirs, particularly dysfunctional families and memoirs of people who are dying. I don't know why I find them so interesting, but I do. And I'm currently reading one that's very moving called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved by Kate Bowler. And I can't tell you how it ends because I'm in the middle of it, but Kate is a professor in the Divinity School at Duke, and she's been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And it sounds really sad, but she's actually a very funny person, and her reactions are just very interesting and often quite humorous with what she's dealing with. I highly recommend it. Also, I'd like to talk about Never Caught. The author was here at the Festival of the Book, and I've forgotten her name. I'm looking at Meredith now. And Never Caught.
Who's giving you the sorry can't help you look?
Yeah, exactly. It is a true story. The author's a historian. It's about a slave of George Washington's who ran away and was never caught. And all of the information that the author had been able to gather about what happened to this woman, how she probably got away, where she went, how she lived out the rest of her life. And the author was here in March for the Festival of the Book, so I went to see her. She was very interesting. Another one that I'm reading right now is called Ties That Bound, and it's about the early first ladies who owned slaves. So Martha Washington, Martha Jefferson, Dolly Madison.
Real quick, and this goes to both of you, once you start a book, do you finish it?
I used to think I had to, but then I heard Nancy Pearl, who's the queen of reader's advisory in the library world, and she said all you have to do is subtract your age from 100, and the difference is how many pages you have to read before you can give up.
Do you read more than one book at one time?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Meredith, book suggestions. You said audiobooks.
Yeah, so I used to have a longer drive to work, so I listened to audiobooks a lot. Now I like to listen to them when I'm doing housework or going for walks, and to fall asleep to. One of the best things on my phone when I get downloadable audiobooks is there's a sleep timer, so I can set it to play for say half an hour while I fall asleep, and then it'll just turn itself off. And sometimes I have to figure out how much I missed after I fell asleep and skip back a little bit, but that's great. For someone who needs help falling asleep sometimes, that's great. My mother listens to audiobooks, and I haven't listened to this one, but she told me that Rachel Joyce's The Music Shop is a great, as an audiobook especially. Rachel Joyce wrote The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry last year, which was very popular, uplifting story, and I think The Music Shop, which is her latest, is similar. Jason Reynolds writes young adult books, and I have heard raves of every single one of his audiobooks. I believe he reads them, and he writes about African-American teenagers in such a great, compelling way, and so he makes really good audiobooks. And then one that they're actually bringing back, which won an award this year, Winston Graham's Poldark series. So if you have listeners who are watching that on PBS, it started as books, older books, but they're redoing them as audiobooks with really great narrators. So some of those are coming out. The Angry Tide was the most recent one. That's historical fiction.
I think the reader makes all the difference. Neil Gaiman is a fantastic reader. of his books. The Graveyard book, which was his Newbery Award-winning children's book, he does the narration, and it's fantastic. I can't even give it. It gets 5 stars.
It's always best when they have an accent. I downloaded one book because it was set in Scotland, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I just want to listen to someone read to me in a Scottish accent for a while. And the narrator didn't have an accent, and I was so disappointed. Oh. but Lindsay's right. It's all about the narrator. So I'll sometimes just search by the person who's reading the book. You can do that in our catalog. So if you find one book you like their voice, you can search for other books they've narrated. And I've gone out of my normal comfort zone with certain titles just because it's the person who's telling me the story, you know, who's reading it.
Jim Dale is another one to look for. He does all the Harry Potter books,
right,
and other things. He's great. And I just listened to The Wizards of Once, which is a children's fantasy book, and because it was recommended by the children's librarian at the Central Library. And the narrator is David Tennant, who was Doctor Who for a while, and he's a British actor, and he was wonderful.
He also did How to Train Your Dragon series, which are great. My mother and I, both adults, listened to that as an audiobook on a car trip, and we were both just laughing out loud.
How long does that take?
How to Train Your Dragon books are not that long, so they're just a couple discs if you're listening to them on disc. But then there are a bunch of them, so if you like the series, you can continue. And Tim Curry reads A Series of Unfortunate Events, so he does a really good job at those audiobooks. Also good for families.
And Brendan Fraser reads Dragon Rider by Cornelia Funke, a children's fantasy, and he did a great job. He's the actor. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he did a fantastic job.
Fantastic job here with our guests Lindsay Addison and Meredith Dickens from Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We were talking about, as we talk about downloadables, mm-hmm, here, there's some interesting downloadables outside of the books at the main library, right? You can do some things with a 3D printer, things that folks might not be aware of that aren't just audio books. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Sure. Well, you said a bunch of things in there. We do have a 3D printer at a couple 3D printers, one that lives at the Northside Library, so Lindsay might want to talk about that. You can book a room to use the 3D printer yourself, or if you have designed something to print or found a design that you want to print, they will also just print for you. There's an online form where you submit the design, and they'll print it, let you know how long it's going to take. The 3D printer is a great tool.
So I can use a 3D printer at Jefferson Madison,
yes,
Regional Library.
Yes.
Yes. Or you can send us the file of what you want to have printed out.
Right.
And we will print it out. There's some rules involved. It's all on our website, and you can get the details or call us.
Yeah. So you can do it yourself, or you can just have something printed. Just let that wash over you.
I know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's a recording studio.
What does it cost me to do that?
Nothing.
It's free.
This is your tax dollars and the Friends of the Library at work. So far. We're going to keep it free as long as we can.
That is so cool.
There are limitations. Like, there's a certain amount of time of printing a month per person just to keep it free as long as possible, but yeah.
And you have to have a library card.
In good standing.
Ooh, a library card. The cost for my library card is overwhelming me.
Well, the card itself is free if you live within our jurisdiction, and if you get things back on time, then
right,
the cost
where
of materials is
manager comes in.
Different kind of collections.
Rick, one other thing we have that I didn't mention is in our children's room, we have an iPad for children to play with, and it has each month the children's librarian puts a new app on it, which is a children's game. And the kids, these are little kids, play with it and love it. And you know how tech-savvy young children are today. It's just one more thing they can do when they're visiting the library. And maybe mom and dad are looking for books for them, and they can run over and play with the iPad. It's amazing.
But you were talking about things other than books, and we do have, especially with summer coming up, we have these really great backpacks from the state. It was a program for libraries in the state, nature backpacks. In the backpack is guides for nature, like hints. Basically, you get a pass to the state parks, any state park, a free pass. There's like a bug catching device and a magnifying glass, and I forget what else is in there, but it's like a little net for scooping up things from puddles. It's just a great little kit to take with you to go explore nature for free in the state parks.
We also have passes to the Virginia Discovery Museum on the downtown mall that you can check out for a week.
We also have go ahead.
The hotspots.
We do have a few Wi-Fi hotspots, so if you live in a place where you don't have internet but want to get it from the cell, we have devices that will give you a Wi-Fi zone. And the toy library. There are, at every branch, there are kits of toys that you can check out to take home.
And I heard that, is it the downtown library? You have a garage band?
I think that's at Northside.
Yeah, Northside. We have, yes, in the teen area.
A recording studio.
We have a little room. We have GarageBand and the keyboard and the guitar, and there's some rules for signing up, and it's mostly meant for teens.
Well, that's how old I am. I've just aged from improper eating.
Oh, dear.
But kids can go to Northside and use GarageBand, and you have some instruments for them?
Mm-hmm. We do. They just have to have a library card.
Again, the difficulty of getting your library card.
One thing that Meredith didn't mention but is important for parents to know is we don't charge fines on children's cards anymore. The children are responsible for taking good care of the book and returning the book, but they can return it late and there will be no fine. If they don't return it at all, however, they will have to pay for it.
Jefferson,
or if the dog eats it,
Jefferson
they'll have to pay
Madison
it.
Regional Library is doing everything they can to get the kids in the library. How do you get kids to read? I mean, because there are a lot of kids, or not even just kids, but, you know, teens, young adults. My wife is an assistant principal at a school outside of the area. She was telling me that she had a kid in the high school who told her that he just didn't like to read. He'd never finished a book. But he had interest in trying to finish a book, but he just never had. And did she have a suggestion? So she talked to him, found out that he played video games. She suggested Tom Clancy Splinter Cell because he played video games and he played that video game. And he read the book and enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was kind of the key, is that she found something that would appeal to him, and then she was able to connect it to a book. I think a lot of times graphic novels are a good entry path for kids who say they don't like to read. And we have a lot of graphic novels and manga.
Yeah, and we have chapter books about Minecraft in the kids section. We have heavily illustrated, you know, nonfiction books about a sport, or we have chapter books about kids playing a certain sport. So a topic that really interests the kid can be an avenue in, and then finding whatever level of reading is not challenging for them or is fun for them. Not making it an assignment, not, you know, forcing a summary at the end. You just have to enjoy it. And if you don't, and again, this goes back to, you might not have to finish a book if it's not for you, and especially if it's not for school, then find another book that you do want to finish. And then that'll point you in the right direction to keep finding more and more.
Talk to the library staff when you come in. We're always happy to recommend things. And we don't take it personally if you don't like any of our recommendations.
That's right. And there is a money-back guarantee. We'll give you the book, and if you don't like it, we'll just find another
just
one for you. Right.
I think my favorite book so far by Melissa Albert again, a young adult book was The Hazelwood.
Mm.
Have you, either of you?
I have that in my to-be-read pile. The cover was so so intriguing. It was just beautiful, and it looked very good. So I haven't cracked it yet.
Again, the marketing often sucks me in.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. So I would recommend that, but I won't go into it since neither of you have read it. Other suggestions from the two of you?
Of things to read?
Yes.
Oh. Hmm.
I have a book that I've been telling everyone about because I wouldn't say it's the best book I read all year, but it stuck with me. It's a fun surface adventure story for adults. It's called The Salt Line. And I am, oh, it's Holly somebody. It's an adventure story, dystopian, so it's in the future where something's happened. And the thing that has happened was a quasi-environmental disaster. There's a species of tick, the gross kind of ticks that just really wig me out, and I think that's why this book sat with me for a while. They carry a disease, and so basically half the country has been given over to these ticks because they can't kill them. They just, everyone left that area of the country. It gets into environmental issues and also politics because there are different factions of people trying to survive. Basically, it starts with a group of people who are on an adventure travel tour going into the tick-infested jungle as like for fun. Because they're, you know, that kind of a thrill seekers. And then what happens to them when something goes wrong and they find some people who are actually living there. And so then it's just a really good adventure story told from a bunch of different viewpoints. And there's ticks, which just make my skin crawl. Yes. So as we go into hiking season, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, she's making my skin crawl.
Yeah, you have to be okay with that.
I want to recommend a book that Meredith recommended at a meeting a while back, and I read it, and I loved it. And it was on a topic that I would never have thought I would have been interested in, and that was The Soul of an Octopus.
I can't remember if I talked about that last year on this show or not, because I was talking about it to everybody for a long time.
It's a fantastic book.
It is a good book.
About a woman who's a naturalist, but not an expert in octopus, and she gets interested in them. It's true. This is not a novel. This is true. She goes to the Boston Aquarium and to meet the octopus, and therein she gets interested in them. You learn all about them. They are such fascinating creatures and so smart, but it's a kind of smartness that it's not human. It's a wonderful book.
I can't remember the title of it, but that reminds me about the book that I read that had to do with the dog, Lucy and the Octopus.
Oh, Lily and the Octopus.
Lily and the Octopus.
Yeah, the dachshund.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was so sad.
That was
such
sad.
A tearjerker. And if you own a dog, that's certainly a book to read, but a book to read with the tissues nearby.
Well, true animal stories frequently are sad, but they're wonderful.
Yeah. Again, our guest today, Lindsay Idison, the branch manager at Northside Library, and Meredith Dickens, the collection manager for Jefferson Madison Regional Library. You can go to jmrl.org and check out the multitude of things available, not even all of which we discussed during the hour. Ladies, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you again next year, if not before.
All right.
All right.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SevillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC.